Hey guys, welcome back to the Filmmakers Podcast. I am the maker of the Filmmakers Podcast, Andrew Gardner. In this podcast, we cover famous directors for people looking to get into movies, so we hope you stick around and enjoy the podcast on the Filmmakers Podcast. And also, follow us on Instagram at podcast_makers for more movie content. What do zombies, aliens, and murderous town folks all have in common? Well, they are all storylines in Edgar Wright films. In Wright's early years, he was known for his fun comedies he directed and wrote with his friends Nick Frost and Simon Pegg. In recent years, Wright found himself leaning into more action-driven films and has a new horror-themed movie coming out this year. I chose to follow Wright's first three major films as they line up with the theme of the month. April is Comedy Month, and we'll be following four major comedic filmmakers and their movies. We will begin with Edgar Wright, then jump into Judd Apatow and Adam McKay, and then finish off with legend Mel Brooks. So let's begin this week off on a great note as we'll be covering Wright's Cornetto trilogy, his first three major films. With an overall budget of $38 million, Wright and his friends developed Shaun of the Dead, which came out in 2004, Hot Fuzz, which came out in 2007, and The World's End, which came out in 2013, and they all made a total of $156 million between the films. Before we jump into the plots and themes of the movies, let's first look into Edgar himself before he worked with some of his best friends on his favorite movies. Edgar Howard Wright was born April 18, 1974 in Poole, Dorset, England. Wright was enthralled with film after receiving his first Super 8 camera on Christmas as a young child. Edgar would earn an ND for audiovisual design at Poole College of Art and Design. Wright would make his feature film debut with the film Fistful of Dollars, a low-budget film that would earn some theatrical releases but would mostly be shown on local TV. Edgar would become friends with Nick Frost and Simon Pegg when directing a show called Space for Channel 4's British Television. Edgar would show his love for tropes and themes within the movies with his friends. These three would go on to make some of the best British comedies and one of the best trilogies of all time. All right, now it's time for us to cover themes and plots of a movie trilogy based on ice cream brand. The first film to cover is a parody of all zombie films as well as a romantic comedy. Wright, Pegg, and Frost labeled Shaun of the Dead a zomcom, as they wanted to cover different themes as they popped up in films. Even the name Shaun of the Dead pays homage to Dawn of the Dead, made by George A. Romero, or the King of Zombie Films. Edgar was able to use tropes that all zombie movies use, but was able to spin it more to comedy. Themes like trying to find a safe space in a zombie apocalypse. There's a romantic comedy with this movie, as Shaun, the main protagonist, needs to get his ex-girlfriend, Liz, along with his best mate, Ed, and his mother, to the Winchester Bar while zombies fill the streets. A great moment within the film is when Shaun calls his mother to pick her up, and she rambles on, not understanding the circumstances, and Ed grabs the phone and yells,
"We're coming to get you, Barbara!"
This is another homage to George A. Romero's first ever zombie film, Night of the Living Dead, which came out 35 years earlier. Within all of Wright's movies, he makes little hints and callbacks to movies he enjoyed as a young child. The whole movie calls on and makes fun of ridiculous zombie movies that came out after Romero's 1968 classic. One funny theme Wright calls on is how dumb and slow zombies have been made in the movies. There is even a scene where the protagonists walk among the zombies in a slow walk and random grunting noises gets them into the Winchester. The plot begins with a drunken night between Ed, played by Nick Frost, and Shaun, played by Simon Pegg, roommates and best friends. Earlier that evening, Shaun told his girlfriend Liz he would take her to a nicer restaurant and not the Winchester Bar again, a bar that they always find themselves at. In the end, Shaun lets her down and she breaks up with him. This is where the zombies begin to rear their heads. It is uncertain what the total cause of the zombie apocalypse was, because another use of humor, Shaun or Ed always change the channel when the news anchor begins to state how the problem occurred. Another use of humor is how Wright shows the townspeople as slow, dumb, and almost mindless. This makes you think the zombies have already joined the town before they have. There is another misdirect, as most of the mindless people are listening to music or looking at television sets. One might think that the mindless zombies are mindless zombies to the screen, but it's just a funny misdirect by Wright. As the zombies begin to outnumber people, we slowly get our main group of protagonists: Ed, Shaun, Shaun's mom Barbara, Liz, and her friends David and Mary. There's also Shaun's stepdad, played by famous actor Bill Nighy, but he makes it about 10 minutes before he gets bit by another zombie. We also meet a group in the same circumstances, as it's a fun because it adds another trope to the movie. The group that's in the other circumstances and the U.S. government come back at the end as all seems lost. This is funny plot device that poorly written movies use to save the day without putting actual effort into it. We see the group hiding in the Winchester, and they all slowly die from zombies before it's just Shaun and Liz. Even Ed, Shaun's best friend, sacrifices himself so the two lovebirds can stay together. We see a fun, weird take on the genre within a zombie comedy. People have tried to impersonate Wright's success, but not with the same results. The next film I would like to cover is Hot Fuzz, which came out in 2007. Edgar, Frost, and Pegg switched the theme to action movies with a little sense of horror. The plot follows Nicholas Angel, played by Peg, a big-time London cop transferred to a small town. Within the small town, McKiller is on the loose, and Angel and his dumpy, slow partner, Danny Butterman, played by Frost. The film is upfront when it talks about movies it's paying homage to. In the film, Nicholas and Danny get drunk after a big bust, and they watch Point Break, a movie we covered last episode, and Bad Boys 2. They pay homage to these movies because they are over-the-top affairs with anybody shooting anybody, and we can see this translated to the end of the movie. Within the film, Angel sees himself transferred from his big cop job in London to a small town called Wells because he was making the department look bad because he was doing so well. One move to Wells, he does the same thing as he makes several arrests in his first night on the town. Angel begins to sense something is wrong as he notices disappearance and accidental deaths of people that have committed crimes within the town. Angel thinks it's one killer, but soon finds out the dark secret of the small town. We see one theme of development as it follows Angel as he goes from a big town hotshot to a small town hotshot. Angel stated earlier within the film that he would move to a small town when he was older, but it happened to him young. He resents the small town as he is seen living out of a hotel for the whole movie, because he never knows if he's going to be called back up to the big leagues again. Danny ends up helping Angel see the brighter part of living in a small town and allows Angel to unwind a little bit. We see at the end of the movie that it was the townspeople and the sergeant of the police and Danny's dad which had been killing the undesirables of the town. We even see a man killed for being a horrible actor, and this all leads back to winning Best Town Award, which they have done for years. The sergeant lets this happen because his wife killed herself after they lost Best Town. In the last scene, we see Danny threatened by the townspeople return and gathers the rest of the small police department to take down the townspeople. This is where we see techniques that Wright would later use in his crime action thriller Baby Driver. Wright has found the best way to film car chases, from spinning of a car drifting to cutting it back and forth to the people in the race. We see some cool car tricks in Shaun of the Dead, but not to this extent. We also see him take on action movies. There's a shootout in a grocery store between the cops and the police, and we even see some action tropes taking place. One is the over-the-top action we see in 90s action movies we have already covered already. And even at the end of the shootout, there's a quippy one-liner that they even question if it was a good one in the end. In the end, Angel has sent the Murderous Town people to jail or he's either killed them, and now he's living his best life in wealth. We see Angel leaving his actual house, showing that he may actually be staying a while. At the end of the movie, both Angel and Danny react to a small crime by doing a sick spin out in a car and taking off. The final movie is the worst of the trilogy. In 2013, The World End. The World End follows five childhood friends as they take on drinking challenges where they must have one drink at 12 bars, ending with the final bar at The World's End. We see five friends, Andy, Gary, Steven, Peter, and Oliver, as they take on bar challenges, but it ends miserably. When we cut to the current day, Gary, played by Peg, as he has left the hostel where he has come to recruit his friends to finish the challenge. We see a large group of well-known actors play the five friends, as Andy is played by Frost, Oliver is played by Bilbo Baggins himself, Martin Freeman as Oliver, Peter is played by Eddie Marsan, and finally Steven is played by Patty Considine. Most of these guys have appeared in other Wright's projects showing his close relationship and friendships. The other four have separated themselves from Gary as he is a narcissist and only hopes to cause his friends pain. We actually see a range of emotions within this film as we see darker themes of suicide attempts, alcoholism, and bullying, all written in a comedic script. The four go with Gary as they feel bad as he tells them his mother died, but she actually hadn't. This movie comes across as a dumb buddy comedy about a bar challenge. One might think the events at the night will finish with lost loves found and the group coming back together. The weirdness arises. Nobody in the small town recognizes them, and the bars become weirder and weirder. Peter, Andy, and Steven want to get out of there and go, but Gary wants to stay and finish the challenge, and Oliver is acting weird. After being chased down by aliens all night, the only ones left are Gary, Andy, and Steven, as Oliver has been taken over by aliens earlier within the film, and Peter as well, as he has taken down his alien bully. At the World's End bar, the aliens give Andy and Gary a deal, letting them live free among the aliens, but they refuse in the best way. They spit and cuss at the aliens till they leave. The aliens then release a bomb to take out the world, and Gary, Andy, Steven, and Oliver's sister Sam make their way through the blast. We see at the end of the movie that Sam and Steven are living in a makeshift staff, and Andy is living with his wife and kids. Gary ends up running around as a bandit with alien versions of his younger friends. The movie ends on a good note, even though the world has been destroyed. This movie is inventive and creative as we see Wright take on aliens. I think Wright did an alright job covering aliens, but the themes didn't seem fleshed out as the other two movies had. I think it gave a creative spin on the fun buddy comedy, but it often bored me. This is a definitely turn your brains off movie. Not bad, not good. The best part of the movie were the action set pieces where we see tons of blue alien blood and Nick Frost as a drunk Andy killing aliens with bar stools is amazing. And the underlining plots don't take up the movie in a bad way. All right, guys, that was our coverage of Edgar Wright. Now let's jump into trivia time. What was the exact reason for the Cornetto trilogy and ice cream being so apparent in Edgar Wright films? Let us know at our social medias at @podcast_maker on Twitter and Instagram. All right, next week we'll be covering Judd Apatow's films, The 40-Year-Old Virgin, Docked Up, and This Is 40. So check it out and more on the Filmmakers Podcast.